Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Goa Bhakta Mridakisha. Our glories to some of the devotees. Our glories to some of the devotees. Our glories to some of the devotees. Glory to Sri Krishna, Sankirtan, Sri Prabhupada. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not chapter 3, is it?
No, it's 2, 10, 11, and 12.
So this is, the Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we have two verses, 11 and 12. We'll say the text 11 together because it's the hardest one. So let's try. Tasla bat sit swa shrishtasu sahasram paripat saram tena narayano nama yarapak purusho bhava. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Person is not impersonal, and therefore it is distinctly a nara, or person. Therefore, the transcendental water created from the supreme Nara is known as Nara. And because he lies down on that water, he is known as Narayana. Text 12. Repeat after me. Dravyam karma chakalas cha.
Dravyam karma chakalas cha.
Swabhavo jiva eva cha. Yad-anugraha-takshanti Nasanti yad-upekshaya Dravyam karma chakalascha Swabhavo jiva eva cha Yad-anugraha-takshanti Na santi yad upekshaya. Please chant.
Dravyam karma chakalascha. Dravyam karma chakalascha. Swabhavo jiva eva cha. Swabhavo jiva eva cha. Yad anugraha shanti. Yad anugraha shanti. Na santi yad upekshaya. Na santi yad upekshaya.
Dravyam karma chakalascha,
Dravyam karma chakalascha,
Swabhavo jiva eva
Dravyam.
Dravyam.
Physical elements.
Physical elements.
Karma.
Karma.
Action.
Action.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
Kalaha.
Kalaha.
Time.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Swabhava jivaha.
The
living entities.
The living
entities.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Yat. Whose?
Anugrahata.
By the mercy of. Santi.
Exist.
Na.
Does not.
Santi.
Exist.
Yat upekshaya.
By negligence.
Translation, purport, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One should definitely know that all material ingredients, activities, time and modes, and the living entities who are meant to enjoy them all exist by His mercy only, and as soon as He does not care for them, everything becomes non-existent. Purport. The living entities are the enjoyers of the material ingredients, time, modes, etc., because they want to lord it over the material nature. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and the living entities are meant to assist the Lord in His enjoyment, and thus participate in the transcendental enjoyment of everyone. The enjoyment and the enjoyed both participate in enjoyment, but deluded by the illusory energy, the living entities want to become the enjoyer like the Lord, although they are not meant for such enjoyment. The jivas, the living entities, are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the Lord's superior nature, or para prakriti, and so also it is mentioned in the Vishnu Purana. Therefore, the living entities are never the Purushas or the factual enjoyers. As such, the spirit of enjoyment by the living entity in the material world is false. In the spiritual world, the living entities are pure in nature, and therefore they are associates in the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, the spirit of enjoyment of the living entities by dint of their own actions, karma, gradually fades by the laws of nature, and thus the illusory energy dictates in the ears of the conditioned souls that they should become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of the illusory energy. When the last illusion is also cleared off by the mercy of the Lord, the living entity again becomes reinstated in his original position and thus becomes actually liberated. For this attainment of liberation from the material clutches, the Lord creates the material world, maintains it for some time, 1,000 years of his measurement, as stated in the previous verse, and then again annihilates it by his will. The living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and all their so-called enjoyments by scientific improvement are crushed into dust when the Lord desires. So we've been hearing about some of the wonderful powers of the Lord. We're discussing the different important aspects that are discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we've been talking a lot about Ashraya, or the taking shelter of the Lord, which we're all meant to do. And in this first verse, it's pounding in the absolute truth that the Lord is a person. He's not without form. Actually, he's in full form, as we see here. Very easily to relate to, because he's very human-like looking. And he's also full of characteristics. So this makes it very easy for us to realize that, as the Bible says, that we're made in his image, and that we can actually have a loving relationship with him. And so we're always searching for that supreme person. Not that we want to love some boy or anything like that. But there's others that actually believe that the Lord is so great that he can't have a form. The Jewish tradition, they say that it's beyond our comprehension, that there's no way he could have a form that we could even describe. The same with the Islamic race, the religion. They say that it can't be understood, so therefore it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is. We hear from the Vedic scriptures that actually he's not only a person, but he's a bluish in complexion, bluish, blackish. Today he's looking very black because he's wearing that black accent against the yellow. It looks really shiny and gorgeous today. But how can you identify, or especially how can you love something that doesn't have a form and it's beyond our comprehension and there's really no clue of what you're trying to love, or if it's even a person? Many people say it's not even a person. If you drive around town and you look at the message boards on the churches, they say, God is love. Many people, there's books all about it. You know, God is love, God is love. But it's not just a title. God isn't just a title. He has a name, he has a form. And therefore, the Vedas are so wonderful because they tell us all about this form and who he is. Others, they just have no clue. So we're very, very fortunate. And because we can love the Supreme Lord, we realize that we need to connect with him again. And we do that through service. You never can really understand a person unless you know his attributes and then you do some service. Because the word love is action, it requires action. Love everybody, love, you know, God is love. What happens is that they don't know who to love, what he looks like or what he wants or how to serve him. So therefore they say, okay, just serve humanity. And this is how this is serving God. So many people do that and they spend their lifetime, which is a very short amount of time, and they do some service to humanity in some way. But it's very temporary, and it is not fully satisfying because the Supreme Lord has not been satisfied. So the search is always there. When I was a teenager, especially in high school, you're always looking out for that Supreme Person that you want to repose your love on, to get some relationship with. But they never seem to meet the standard. You know, we have some pretty high standards, especially when we're teenagers. He's got to look like this, he's got to wear those kind of shoes, and he's got to have his mustache like this and everything else. And usually, if we do find someone, it's usually a disappointment in the end, right? How many of you have been through? You know, disappointment after disappointment, even marriage, disappointment after disappointment, because that supreme loving propensity is not totally fulfilled because it hasn't been repose on the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we should count our blessings that Prabhupada came along and presented us with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has allowed us to view him and to serve him and to know all about what he wants and what he likes. But many people can't understand that God can be approached in this way, especially we have the wonderful means of the facility to connect with him through the holy name. The holy name is absolute. It's non-different than that person. So we can actually have some realization of him just through this chanting. And not just the name Krishna. Some people complain that why God's name is Krishna? Why do you say it's Krishna? Well, we say we can tell you a good thousand names if you want to hear them, you know. Why he has a name. You can't really give God a name. But every name that we give God explodes with wonderful stories. Just like if I say Giriraj, what goes in your mind? A whole pastime, whole thing of the hill and the pastime and all the friends and the caves and the everything that goes on there. And the name Gopal, you think of the cowherd boy, you think of all those pastimes, the Govinda. You know, your mind immediately goes to Vrindavan and pictures what's going on there all the time, right? So every name is explosion of ways that we can revive that love for God. So to say that God doesn't have a name, pretty boring. I mean, how many pets did you have? You even named your guinea pig, right? Right? Your turtle had a name. So many different things had names. My sister's buying some yacht right now. Of course they're going to give their yacht a name, right? What's life without a name? Everything has to have a name. It gives life to everything. So why does God just have to have a title? Why can't he have a name? Why can't he have a billion, million names? So this is, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, right now, down 2 hours south of here, there are people lining up to go see personalities that have names. Mickey and Donald. Thousands of people will go to see these non-living entities that have names, but have become so important in their lives. Ridiculous, right? And then, of course, the animation, if you put, you know, giving a name, maybe that's anthropomorphism, and you know, like we've been discussing, but to put the animation, the technology of having them actually move, wow, you know, you can't resist. I mean, I must admit, I was an avid fan of, most of you in this room won't remember, but Talking Mr. Ed. Anybody remember Mr. Ed? A few hands, yeah. On TV. It was a talking horse. I was a kid, I had horses. I would have given anything to see my horse talk. But to watch it, you know, you could see his mouth go like this and everything. Wow, a talking horse. Because children are so innocent. Why? Because they have that natural inclination that everything is a person. It is alive, it has personality. Why not God? Why can't God be a person, have personality and form? But as we get older, then we go, oh no, no. The scientists, they have to claim that, you know, that God has a form. No, he's this, he can't be that, he can't be that, he can't be that. I ran into this article and I was reading some of my mundane literature. And it was interesting because just hit right on the point. It's an article about elephants. And it says, some man and Sharma feel that elephants do experience grief, but more evidence is needed to say so with scientific rigor. You know, no one's going to believe it. So he has to get scientific proof. They changed the illustrations of elephants in their paper after one of the reviewers raised the concern that they might have human-like expressions. A little anthropomorphism may not be a bad thing, Sharma says, if it helps people care for elephants, right? So that's the trouble with mature adults, is that that natural inclination gets covered over. Not everything, you know, if it's not a living entity, if it's not a human, if God is, you know, blue, forget it. I mean, but if he's, you know, maybe wears pants instead of a dhoti, maybe he exists, maybe he has a form. So it's really unfortunate that that the world doesn't see how natural it is to see that all living entities are souls, they're all personalities related to God. And then if you go down to this Disney world, that is all animated. You walk in, and what happens is that everything is conscious. Everything moves, everything has a shape and a form and everything, right? And so what an experience for kids to realize that there's a place where everything is conscious. How wonderful. Guess what? Krishna's kingdom, everything is conscious. That's why there's such an attraction. Because our natural home, our real home, our real position is that we're totally conscious of Krishna, and everything around in the spiritual world is conscious of Krishna. And that's where we should be, not in this Dullsville, this Marchaloka, where everything is just simply dying, is like dead. No, actually three-fourths of all the whole thing, I mean, we're hearing about, you know, Mahavishnu and the big universes coming out and all this, and all the millions of universes, but that's just one little teeny dark corner. The rest of the real world is the spiritual world, where everything can be conscious of Krishna. So how do we get out of this material world? There's a little enticement here about going to the spiritual world. This is a little book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is called Sri Brajat Vritti Chintamani. And it's all about all the things going on in Vrindavan. So if you want to make sure that you want to go there and not stay here in Marchaloka, here's a little something that might encourage you. The betel nuts, scented oil, flower garlands, In other paraphernalia, the Brajavasis offered to Sri Krishna are perfectly spiritual, even though offered by, quote, human beings. Even the demigods in heaven cannot attain love like these humans. The humans beings bear for Sri Krishna, the moon of Braja. So all the paraphernalia is all non-different than Krishna being offered. And here's another one about the trees. The splendid trees of Braja Bhumi are perfectly spiritual in nature and full of all potencies. They're just like the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the conditioned souls misunderstand the spiritual nature of the Supreme Lord's incarnations, in the same way they misunderstand the glory of these trees in Braja. So people completely misinterpret this material world, as we find out in the next verse. This next verse is really very potent. It's like a slap in our face, because you realize that everywhere one in this material world has it completely wrong. They're completely off track. They're thinking this place is meant for their enjoyment, for their manipulation, that they can control everything, right? They're expecting to get out of the womb, and what happens? I need a joystick. Is that what you call those things that you play games with? Joystick? Yeah. So now, when you're about 1 year old, what kind of joystick they put in your hand? A phone or a computer, right? I see them. 1 year olds, they've got these tablets or whatever those things are, and that's their joystick. They're going to start manipulating this material world. They're going to find all the enjoyment they want on that screen. And yes, this is the place to be. Look at it. It's so easy now to enjoy. I don't need Krishna. I don't need to know about another world. This world is fantastic. It's right here in my hand. But the reality check, very soon, you'll realize that it's not all joy, right? Krishna helped us out in that way. He sends some miseries. Pararta Rishi was cutting down a tree over here the other day, and I walked up and I said, "Oh, is the whole thing dead? I go, "Is it really dead? It looks like there's some life." He goes, "Well, they say it's dwindling." And so I said, "I think we're all dwindling too." After looking at ourselves, both gray hair and our muscles getting smaller and smaller. And he says, "Yes, we're all dwindling." So this is nature's, as it's describing the verse. This is some of the mercy that Krishna gives us, that nature starts taking away our so-called potencies by his great potency. He likes to show off every once in a while. "Yes, see what I can do?" And here it's described that the scientists who are in the back rooms trying to figure out, okay, new gadgets, new technology to make it seem like everything is fantastic. It's only getting better here. Look, here's some more tinker toys to play with. You'll be happy. Don't worry. But as it says here, Krishna can take up those toys, take up your phone even, and he can crush it and pulverize it into nothing if he wants. In 1 second, he can just, internet could be finished. He could cut the cord, finished. Where will you all be there? So this is the way that Krishna shows off his potency, and that we should learn that we are totally dependent on him. So sometimes when the misery gets really bad, then we start to think, well, maybe I should surrender to God. Maybe there is a God. Maybe I should surrender. And then Maya will hear this, hear it in your heart and say, "Oh, wait a second. No. You can't do that. Listen, you've already had to deal with, relationships in the material world. You've never been satisfied with any of them. How come you think this relationship is going to be different? Those have all been disappointments. God is going to be a disappointment. Don't worry about it. Don't deal with it. Better," and she whispers, as it says in here, whispers in your ear, "just merge. That way, there's no problems. There's no relationships. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just be one of those little shining like bubbles and be in his effulgence or whatever you want, and you don't have to worry about this." But what happens is that after a while, the desires come out You fall again into the material world. You've wasted how many gillions and billions of years floating around there doing nothing with no problems? What's the sense? So best to make plans to serve Krishna. And we're so fortunate that just by hearing his glories and by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, we can experience the pleasure and enjoyment that we've been looking for. And our search has ended. But it really hasn't ended because we have to learn, we have to be trained how to actually serve him, how to actually please him. And that's what this lifetime is about. It's blissful coming here and learning how to make garlands, how to do artik. We were singing last night the artik song, and we read the translation, and the evening artik song. And it was, you could just picture on the bank of the Ganges with everybody offering. I mean, if you've ever been in Vrindavan where they do the Jamuna artik at night, you know, that big, huge thing, and it's such a wonderful thing. And I was reflecting, because I don't come to evening artik, but a long time ago in Los Angeles, when we go out, everyone had to live in the temple. Everyone went out, and everyone always wore saris and always wore dhotis, but they had a top at that time. You know, they don't wear it anymore, but they used to have a top. They do it different ways. They look like Superman sometimes. Some people do it like the sannyasi. But they would after being out on Sankirtan all day, they would come back and you shower, and everyone would go in for evening artik. Everyone had to go. And 100 people floating with all these beautiful robes, and it was just a gorgeous sight. You know, everyone would be swaying back and forth, and the artik, and after being downtown Los Angeles, seeing the gook and the grime and the people, and being out there 10 hours, it was a shelter. You felt the shelter, being in front of the deities, and just with, you know, the devotees, and the harmonium, and the singing, and everything. It was worthwhile living just for that experience. So this is some of the benefits we get, especially this deity worship. I've been thinking about it more and more, what a treasure it is that we've had, that it's included in this training, and it's such an important part of the training. It's so exciting to come here in the morning, even Mangal Arti, to see, you know, what pajamas they got on, you know, today, and who dressed them, and how their hair is, and so many different things. And especially coming here and every morning, Govinda prayers, seeing how they're all dressed and all the different flowers, like she was mentioning. Even, you know, the experience of dressing the deities. What a transcendental experience, but what a transcendental anxiety. It's total anxiety, thinking of, okay, what are they going to wear? Sometimes this anxiety starts a year ahead of time. I have one lady that already came to me months ago with plans on what I have to make for the deities for Radhastami. This was like months ago, 6 months ago. Here's the plans. This is what I've planned for the you know, the devotional and decorations, you know. So this is like a transient anxiety, and I know that almost all my dreams are about the deities, and they're all total anxiety that I'm late, or someone didn't show up, or there isn't this, or I'm in a different place, I don't know where anything is, everything. So, but this is the experience. We actually begin to experience serving Krishna, even in our dreams, which is a wonderful thing. It's so purifying. I'll tell you one story. She's not here right now. She won't mind. Ruchira. I was on the altar dressing Krishna Balaram, and Ruchira was dressing Radha Shyam. And I think it was the disappearance day of Prabhupada, because we just had a big festival, Govardhan Puja, and then there's a couple of days, and then Prabhupada's disappearance day. And there's not always a new outfit on that day. At least it didn't used to be. And usually for a new outfit, you get you get a half hour, 45 minutes extra time to dress them. And so I've been looking over at Ruchira, and I know she's taking her time, doing, you know, really absorbed, taking her time. And I thought, you know, there's none, you know, the offering's really soon. You know, I've already got everything on. I look over at Ruchira, I said, Ruchira, it's not a late offering today. And she goes, oh, you're kidding. And she goes, this is one of my dreams come true, you know. That actually it was a nightmare that she'd had, that, you know, you're late. And so she had, we all helped her get it together in the end, but it was, you know, so the deities, you can think of the experience of Sakshi Gopal, you know, the experience that those people had. If you can talk, you can walk, you know, that whole story, you know. So the deities have personalities, and we learn all this by taking care of the deities. And it gives life to ourselves, and you become very attached. And from there, the attachment can grow, and that can grow into real love. Because we know the form, we know the personality, and we feel the shelter of being in the presence of God. Otherwise, without the deities and knowing what his form is, how do we feel that shelter? And all we have to do is learn how to bow down and put our hands in the air, and Krishna will come and he'll embrace us. And we feel that embrace. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today. We'd be embracing some, anyway, whatever. So, yes, because we feel that real attachment and that real experience of God. And so we should be very thankful to Srila Prabhupada for going to the trouble of his transient anxiety of leaving the deities here and hoping that we take care of them. He expressed that anxiety many times. I'm afraid that you're just going to think it's a burden and you're just going to leave them. I brought Krishna here myself. So we should realize that it is our duty to come and bring gifts. I see Mathura come every day, he brings a gift, and we bring flowers, and we bring our dancing and our chanting and our consciousness to him. And in this way we can feel real liberation. We feel real liberation from this Maya influence that is all around us. And we can take that, especially by taking shelter of the holy name. So we should not take it lightly when we're chanting our rounds in that little intimate time that we have in those few hours in the morning when we can just really experience that Krishna and his name are the same. And that Krishna, that God does have a name, and that it is all worshipful, and that we should take the service seriously of serving the holy name. Because it is a service. When you pick up those beads, that begins your real service for the day of chanting his names. So maybe someone else has something to say about that? Are there any questions? Codices.
Not a question, but kind of a silly story. But I just wanted to share, when you mentioned Mr. Ed, the talking horse,
yeah.
And I thought about this story, a children's story, where the little boy, he gets three wishes, and one wish is that he wishes his dog would talk, and then when the dog speaks, all he does is complain about the food, and it just, you know, reminded me of that and made me think about how in this material world, you know, there's always that thought that if I only had this thing, then I'd be happy. And, you know, it's just not the case.
Well, I get complaints sometimes. Anybody else? We got another.
So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the last snare of the illusory energy to become one with the Lord. The last snare. So is it correct to assume that we have come past that last snare because we're engaged in the service of the Lord? And then after that question, I experience that I'm not free from the illusory energy. So did I bypass that last snare already or not?
It's a snare.
Huh?
It's a snare. It's not a shackle, but we've gotten over that. We've come up philosophically and intelligently. We understand. I mean, as soon as I heard that I wasn't God, which I thought I was, which is the last snare, we're all God. That was where I was at. Mm-hmm. But then I go, wow, I'm actually a servant of God. That makes more sense. And the snare was gone.
I see. Yeah.
But Maya still hangs around. She's still got her still a few little tricks in the bag. To, you know, to, but this knowledge is so powerful. Yeah. We can't go back to impersonalism. You know, it's just too wonderful. We picked up one man at the Rainbow Gathering, and he is a Buddhist, but he came in here and started looking around at all the pictures and everything, and he goes, how can I go back to nothingness when this whole thing is going on here, you know? And he became a devotee. Did you have something? We can't be scared enough of her, Papa said. She's still tricky.
I just wanted to appreciate that you gave practical examples that we see today in the modern world. You know, even young children, like you were saying, have tablets and everything like this. And I feel that as a consequence, society doesn't realize what they're doing. And they're saying now that 100 years back, I mean, you could have more cheese flavor in one Dorito than you would have had in your whole lifetime. So now we have 20 flavors of bagels, you know, instead of three flavors like back in the day. And people are statistically, in my mundane reading recently, the most miserable they've ever been. And we have the most access to enjoyment. So it seems to be that the more access that you have to material enjoyment, naturally the more miserable that you become. And this has been a sort of revelation that our natural inclination is to direct that service to the Lord. So myself recently, I was having this experience, spending so much time on the computer and like this, and somehow or another by the Association of the Vaishnavas, I was able to snap out of it. But I appreciate that example because I feel other devotees that I know personally are also struggling with this easy access to pleasure.
Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's dream, another 50% of his work, was to create self-sufficient real shelters so that we could not have to submit ourselves to this bombardment of technology and simplify our lives. Because I know since I've gotten a cell phone, it's complicated my life and it's taken me away from Krishna in many ways. But to pull ourselves away now, unless Krishna decides to pulverize, I don't know how it's going to happen.
Can I inquire, should we endeavor to help Prabhupada in his mission to establish Vanashram? I had heard that he said it was his only regret that he didn't establish Vanashram.
No, I think we should, I could talk a few hours about that, but yes.
Okay.
We should go full force. The whole society should figure out how to contribute to it. And I have many ideas, and I'm on a conference Zoom thing where many people around the world are trying to figure out and working on it, but it takes more than a few people.
Could we have access to these resources and maybe like connect more devotees? I feel like if we make a conscious effort that, you know, I've spoken with many devotees, and the mood you share is shared with many, many, many devotees right now. We're feeling the impacts of this depression that manifests from the constant.
Youthful energy. Most of the people on the conference are 50, 60, 70.
I would love to join.
Thank you very much for your class, Mataji. You mentioned a very, very important point here earlier concerning that it's very important that God has a name, because by this name we can develop a relationship. Actually, without the name, there is no relationship. That's a very important point, and that brings me back memories from the class that Chaitanya Charan gave here a few months ago, where he said that the main reason is because we need to identify with Krishna, we need to identify with the character, we need to identify with the person that is on the altar, the person that is in our heart, the Paramatma. It's all about identifications. As soon as we lose our identification with spirit, then we are identifying with Maya. And that's what Maya doesn't want. Maya wants us to identify with Maya, wants us to identify with the material world. And that's why everything in the material world has a name, and the scientists keep giving names to all these different things because they want us to identify with that matter. So it's all about identifications. And so this is a very, very important point. But truly speaking, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I think that is the main point, is by the mercy of the Guru, that we can actually appreciate the beauty of the name of Krishna. It's so beautiful. All the names of Krishna, they are just absolutely beautiful. If you think about it, Mukunda Madhava, Yogeshwar, any name of Krishna is just Murali, Muralidhar, Shyamasundara. I mean, they are incredibly beautiful. Once you identify with those names, then you are on your way to develop that relationship, which, as Chaitanya Charan said, you know, we need that identification in order to be part of the spiritual movie instead of being of the part of the material movie. That's what movies are about. Movies or films, they are based on this identification. So thank you very much again for that reminder of remembering the name of God, which is very, very important. Thank you.
Govinda. Govinda. Yes. That's the advantage of naming your children.
I really like how you made the gave explanation how everything else has a name. Why not God? Why even one name? Why not many? I really like how you presented it. But like talking about spiritual enjoyment, and so I just came back from the wedding in California, and I observed like our youth. One night they had reception, and everybody dressed up in a suit and tie, elegant dresses, and they play some regular music that they like, and they try to go on the podium and dance and have fun and ecstasy, and you can see they go like for a few minutes, then they sit down and talk and then try another song, and ultimately they all just sat down and start talking. And then next day at the temple in Pradyumna Maharaj had a kirtan. It was hundreds and hundreds of devotees, and temple room was packed. There was no room for a needle. They all danced for hours and really happy and smiling and didn't want to stop. It's such big difference with that real happiness and trying to be happy.
Thank you, Lord Chaitanya, for that. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.